Hello, and welcome back to Words with Nerds, your new favorite podcast where two teens talk about the franchises they love. I'm Murphy.
And I'm Molly. And this is Words with Nerds, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, so let's dive in. Roll credits. First scene.
Problems. Trade Federation. Blockade. Yes. There and is a blockade.
The 14-year-old dude. Oh my gosh. Why would you hire a 14-year-old dude as your captain?
Pilot. Yes, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I do have to say.
He's probably real trained and stuff.
I do have to say, the clones were like 5 years old when they. Or no, 10 years old when they went and fought a war for the Republic. So the Republic has had their. Say of child labor.
I mean, that's true, but at the same time, it's just like they were age enhanced. They had like they were on speed growth or something like that. So, I mean, they had an advantage. But this kid he's a kid. We're just gonna flat out say it. He is a child. He is piloting this plane. His co-pilot easily 10 to 15 years older than him. The co-pilot, feel very sorry for that guy, because he looks like he's been passed over for the position of the captain, which is taken by a kid! A child! Ah! No sense. Makes no sense. Okay.
No, it does not make
sense. Enough with that topic, because we're never going to get an answer for that. Yeah, let us know, guys, if you know anything about that, because we are just, like, we are so confused. We don't know why that this child is piloting a plane. Okay.
Okay,
moving on to sort of Newt Gunray, who's stupid. Stupid Newt Gunray.
I don't know, why would you send just Deoxys gas and, like, 5 battle droids after 2 highly skilled Jedi?
It doesn't make any sense. He's just like, oh, I know what I'm doing. Then the other guy, who we think his name is Viceroy, but we don't know, so let us know. He's just like, ah! Do you know how to do it? Do you know what you're doing? He's like, I've never dealt with Jedi. This is Newt Gunray speaking. He's like, no Jedi. I don't know. I'm going to close all the doors. Close all the doors. They're still coming through. Oh, well. Yeah, he's just not smart, but that's okay. We don't judge. No judgment. We're judging. We're judging harshly. Okay.
Definitely. Okay, so moving on.
They meet Jar Jar Binks. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna do
the Jar Jar Binks.
I like Jar Jar
Murphy
Binks.
Has no problem.
I like Jar Jar Binks. I don't have a problem with him. A lot of people do. Molly, give your opinion.
Well, I don't want to give more hate, because Jar Jar Binks, I feel sorry for him. He's gone, had so much hate from most people. I'm not gonna say everyone, but most people hate on Jar Jar Binks. And yes, we understand why.
But
and,
he was sort of used as comedic relief in that.
But it's not funny.
In that
it's
movie.
So annoying.
But you can't give that movie crap for it, because they used a really good character, like a character that they could have molded into a good one, which is General Hux. They could have made him into an amazing character, but they just totally botched it. Disney. I'm saying they as in Disney.
I know.
Disney botched it and made him into comedic relief and just killed him off in the 9th movie. So, I don't really understand the hate for Jar Jar Binks, but it's okay. Everyone has their own opinion.
He's so forgetful. It's almost, like, unbearable to watch how forgetful he is. He's like, let's go to Gungan City. Oh, wait. I'm banished. Oops.
I honestly do feel bad for Jar Jar Binks, though, because in the end, he just ends up living on the streets of Naboo, hated by everyone, because he was the one that elected the Chancellor. So.
Yeah, I know, it's just like, but he was manipulated like everyone else, and I feel sorry for him.
He's the only one that's remembered for electing the Chancellor, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because now...
I feel sorry for him, though, because I do feel sorry for him.
Yes.
But at the same time, I feel like Disney went... Well, this isn't Disney. This is Lucasfilms. I think they went overboard, way overboard with his character traits. Because I feel like, okay, a little bit of Jar Jar Binks, ha ha ha, so funny. But now it's just like, ooh, this is so cringy. But
Did you know that the first, that the sequels, the prequels were the reason George Lucas sold it to Disney? Because of the hate he got for the prequels and how much people did not like them, that is why he sold it to Disney.
They were just, I mean, I understand, like, why they got so much hate. Because the 4, 5, 6 movies are so amazing with, Jabba the Hutt is, that's not CGI, that's a puppet. I looked this up. It's a live puppet. And then you look at now, it's all animation, all, like, CGI and special effects. And
it just doesn't look as real.
The special. It doesn't look as real.
Because
and it ruins the specialness that's the 4, 5, and 6, the first trilogy, brought to Star Wars. They looked so real, you could believe that this story was happening. And then you watch The Phantom Menace, and you watch this trilogy, and you just cry because it just looks so fake. And they've improved
in
Force Awakens, but
I do have to give him credit. When you take an easier option, like how I watched kind of a little documentary on how they made the first films, and it was insane. Like all the work that went into doing one frame, and just by doing CGI, it made it probably 10 times easier. And if that's gonna help you get out films a little bit faster that are not as good as quality, but it helps you get them out way faster instead of waiting like 5 years in between each one, I'm all for that. But I do wish you could have waited like 2 years in between at least, just to really focus on making them instead of just trying to get it out there for the box, like office revenue.
I agree with you with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should move on to what happens after Jar Jar Binks.
The palace
scenes with where Jar Jar Binks, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Qui-Gon Jinn, they go to the palace to see they want to rescue the queen. And, oh, wait, first we see the queen standing by the window. And then next thing you know, bam, new outfit. Walkie with the guards.
Okay, so I have a theory on that. I think that the queen, so obviously the queen in the, that was being taken away by the guards was the decoy queen, and I think the one standing by the window was actually Padme Amidala, taking a last look upon her city that she loved so much. So, like, she knew that they were coming, she saw them, and she was just taking one last look on her peaceful planet that she knew would fall ill to this war and just be obliterated because they don't have an army, they don't have a way to protect themselves. And I think that after that she went and changed and then got into her handmaiden clothes. It doesn't make it. I bet there was probably, like, she probably had at least half an hour, because I think there, obviously there was cut scenes in between, but I think that it probably took them a while to march through the city and get to her, and even find them in the palace and take them hostage. So I think she had probably a little bit of time to do that. But other than that, I think that that's what was really going on in that scene. That's kind of my debunk of it.
Well, I agree with Murphy's theory about how that is Padme staring out the window, and then the other decoy going down the stairs. But what just makes me really confused is just how the heck do they change so quickly? It's like, okay, she's wearing this fancy dress, and then, boom, handmade an outfit. And I understand cutscenes and time passes and stuff, but these scenes are right after the others. They're direct, like, one and then the other. And it's just like, okay, well, she just can change clothes really quickly because she's a queen. And it also doesn't make sense to me. Why does she have time to get all these, get all dressed up fancy every single day when she has to deal with being a queen? She has to deal with the politics, and I know it's the decoy getting dressed, it's not Padme herself, but at the same time, it's just surprising to me how they're more concerned about fashion rather than the well-being of the Nabooians, it appears to me.
Oh, I think everybody on Naboo is pretty... They got the mucho dinero, they got the moolah, I don't think they're doing too bad. Like we are.
That's true.
I don't think they're doing too shabby.
I agree with you because we've seen their cities and those cities are so beautiful.
I honestly wish I could live there.
Like that. Yeah, the architecture, everything, the art itself, it's just amazing. But at the same time, she's dealing with the Trade Federation right now. I feel like she should be worried about their blockade more than getting dressed. But that's just our take on that. Okay.
Yeah. So after she was rescued by Qui-Gon Jinn, they went to the hangar to get all of their pilots and to get in their ship. So in that scene when they free them, the crazy thing is that you see like 10 pilots all go into that ship. How the heck does that ship fit all of those people in it? It's a big ship, but at the same time, it's pretty small. It doesn't have a lot of room for 10 extra guys, plus handmaidens, all of the Jedi, like the pilots for the ship, and the queen. There's a lot of people involved, plus all of her security.
Yeah, I agree with you, because When we first get a glance at the ship, you're like, oh, okay, it's a medium-sized ship, probably like 5 people. And then there's like 20-plus people are on board.
Well, yeah,
Plus, there's a whole room reserved for the astromechs. That's like 4 astromechs in their own little room.
Well, plus, and there's you a can throne see it. Room. It could fit like 12 in there, too.
It looks like it could fit like not... It could fit... A large number of people, but not that many people. It would be pretty cramped in there, is what we think.
I was playing Battlefront 2, and it was in that hangar scene. One of the maps is the hangar on Naboo, and you can get up on top of the ship, and you walk across it. It is not that big, and I think that Battlefront tried to make it, like EA tried to make it as realistic as possible, but honestly, that ship is pretty small, so I think, I mean, I don't know. Even in the movie,
it looks really small. And, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense, but... I don't know. It's crazy, but, yeah, I mean, maybe... My theory is Harry Potter crossover. They used the same spell that they used on the tent in the Goblet of Fire that made the tent look small on the outside and big on the inside. They used that same spell on the ship. Small on the outside, huge on the inside. So that's my theory on that. I don't care who knows it. Okay. Sorry. Okay. What is that? We're having a visual bit, guys. Murphy is flinging something. What is that? Oh, fidget spinner.
I know, it's from like 7 years ago, and I found it in my desk, and that's what has been keeping me occupied during online school. Okay, getting back on topic. We gotta get back on topic.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Okay, so those handmaidens, though, they could beat you up. They could honestly beat you up. I bet they got, like, one of those Clone War miniguns just right like underneath the dresses, like they got some Jedi skills and just beat the crap out of you if you would even come near them. You'd just be gone. They got some like ninja skills.
Every time I hear this theory from you, I can't. It gets better and better each time, Murphy. I've already heard this, and it's still so good. I can't.
All right. Here we go. So on our Instagram, if you can create the best fan art of the handmaidens and with the queen, and them with their miniguns out and stuff like that, and some action fan art, then you can get a shout out on our Instagram. We will have a poll on our story for the best one. It'll be like a little tournament bracket. You guys will vote, and it will be pretty fun. Yeah. So
yes,
do fan art if you want to.
Vote for your favorite one, and yes, that will be on our Instagram and also on TikTok. If you only follow us on TikTok, then follow our Instagram. But also, if you only follow us on TikTok and you post it on TikTok, we will look there, and then we will still reveal the results on Instagram, but if we have any participants from TikTok, we will also announce those on TikTok and on the podcast next, whenever that poll is finished, we will announce it through our podcast, like record that. That'll be cool. Someone gets a shout out.
Yeah, our first shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, guys, if you don't want to post, like, I don't know, post on Instagram, just send it to us. Honestly, just send an email to wordswithnerds@gmail.com. This is something we usually say at the end, but I'm saying this now because it feels right. I don't know. Yeah, but send us an email, guys. It's like, what are we going to do with your email? I know people are uncomfortable about emailing other people.
I know.
But honestly, what can we do? We can't even figure out technology. But anyways, yeah, just do that, guys. And yay, it's going to be so fun. I can't wait. I love doing challenges and stuff. This is going to be fun.
All right, back on topic.
We hope, please, actually, one more thing. Please give us your feedback about, like, challenges and stuff, because I think we both like giving challenges out, right?
Yeah.
I think we both like to give challenges to our listeners, so that might be something we do more of in the future. So please let us know what you think, guys. Okay. All right, now we're going to get back on track, because we want to record still. Okay. So,
yeah.
After the hangar scene, where too many people get in this plane, we think, they go to the, they go out into space, and of course, R2-D2 is the only one who can fix the hyperdrive thing, the shield thing, sorry, the shields. Of course he is, because he's R2-D2. He's the smartest person there, and all the other droids are like, we're dying, and he's just like, I'm just gonna do this myself. Ta-da!
Well, after that, they go to Tatooine, where, I mean, Anakin and Padme meet, you know?
So cringy.
Little simp.
Yeah.
He's simping for Padme hard.
He is. Anakin will always be a simp.
You look like an angel. You look like an angel.
Simp. Yeah. And then Padme is just like, strange kid, okay, random stuff. And then, I don't know, it's disgusting to think that that little kid in that, let's face it, she's 14, but she looks like she's an adult already. It's really cringy to know. It's so cringy to know that they're gonna get married one day. I'm sure Padme's in there like, wow, good thing we're leaving soon. She has no idea that that's the guy she's going to marry.
And I want you to touch that little thing. No, thank you.
Yes, please stop. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's, it's just, it's disgusting. And, oh, and also the only one who is okay with everything, because then after the whole thing with Watto, there's the sandstorm, and then they go back to Anakin's house. Like, the stranger danger, hello? I mean, okay, yes, this is Tatooine we're talking about, controlled by the Hutts. So I'm sure Anakin has had his run-in with that kind of stuff before, but I mean, still, new people from different planets come to your city, and you're just like, come to my house, I'm a child, who I cannot be corrupted yet. And then, well, he can be, because he's really weird. But anyways, it's just so, ugh, it's really cringy, because, like, Qui-Gon's like, oh, your son, so kind, offered us into this, he offered us your home. And Padme's like, why the heck would we go home with the person we barely knew, which is the right way to act in this situation? Right?
Yeah.
I'm not counting Jar Jar Binks or R2-D2, because they're too out to lunch to understand what's going on. They're just like, oh, we're gonna just do whatever they're doing. And I mean, we already know that Jar Jar Binks is pissing off Sebulba, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just really, it's too cringy to watch her, like, to watch Anakin simp, be a simp towards Padme. I don't know, that's what,
yeah.
It's just,
and also, when he, well, I'm kind of moving on, but what I don't get is how he won the pod race. Like, I get that he's talented at all, and he has all those midichlorians in his system. He has, like, 24,000 or something.
It's really, it's a high number.
But, so, yeah, I still don't get how a kid who built his own, like, it would be such a coincidence that the pod racer that he's been working on for years is finally ready at the exact same time that they show up, and there actually is a pod race that could win them the credits that they need, and yeah.
I know the timing, it's just like, I don't know, timing is everything in Star Wars, because there, it's always like, oh, guess what I'm doing right when you happen to show up, I happen to be doing the same, this thing, which takes place in a movie that helps you out a lot, and it, like, there's stuff like that happens all the time in Star Wars, and yes, this is one of them, and it is really weird how it just happened to be racing. But also what's weird is how he won because Sebulba crashed. Honestly, I think if Sebulba didn't crash, then Sebulba would have won, because Sebulba has the experience, right?
Anakin would have just... I mean, Anakin, I feel like, has the faster pod in this scenario.
Yeah.
But Sebulba is more experienced.
Talented.
Yeah.
I'm not saying... I'm not going to say it's a talent, because it's cheating, really.
Well, are you simping over Sebulba?
No, he's disgusting. I don't know. I'm just... He's so gross.
He's pretty hot.
No. Why? No, he's disgusting. It's just that... Oh, man. Anakin is just too much in this movie. He's too... He's a little kid, and it's really annoying how he's thrown into this mess. Yeah, but... Oh, man. But, I mean, Sebulba, he would have won. Talent. Experience. He can cheat pretty well. Anakin can't, because Anakin is a child. The one thing Sebulba doesn't have that Anakin has, the Force! Woo! Yeah. Honestly, though, don't you think that Qui-Gon probably controlled Anakin's pod the entire time?
I honestly don't think so. Because that would... Yeah. I do not... I don't... think he did.
Well, maybe...
He definitely, like, botched the system of gambling.
Oh, my God.
And I think that he could... I think that he could see that Anakin would win. That he had faith in him. But...
Yeah.
I don't know. He might have helped him out a little bit.
What if, like, Qui-Gon was like, we're gonna just let Anakin take care of this. Because Anakin was... He had that trouble at the beginning. And then he was, like, really behind. Because then, like, his coupling came apart. Power coupling. And so, he fixed all that. And then, suddenly, he just managed to speed up to the rest of them. What if that was Qui-Gon? Because Qui-Gon was like, okay, he's gonna win, but he's having all this mechanical issues. So, I'm just gonna force feed him along here.
Yeah, I don't really know my opinion on that one. I don't really have one.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I honestly think that I don't really know how he did it, but well then after that he gets freed and
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But
so,
okay,
Darth,
but
the
him being freed
the only
is it's just like, okay, I understand you want to help this child, but you don't know him. You think it has like this force power, and the mom is the worst in this whole scenario. She's just like, oh, random strangers just met. One of them might be a Jedi. We think now he is a Jedi. Oh, you'll freed my son? Yay! Oh, now you're taking him away from me. Okay. So...
I think Shmi knew that her son had potential, and I think that Qui-Gon knew the prophecy very well, and then after he asked Shmi who the dad was, and when she said no, he realized that the Metachlorian count... Like, he had this feeling, he tested the Metachlorians, they were, like, super high, he didn't have a father, he was, like, there was never any father, and the prophecy stated that the chosen one would be conceived out of the Force, so kind of like Jesus, I don't really know.
Oh, that's just so
but
disgusting to think of that.
He'd be conceived out of the Force, like Will. And
no.
So, yeah, so that's really what the prophecy said, and that's how Anakin was conceived, was out of the Force.
But the grossest part about that is thinking that this is basically Jesus, because Shmi is basically Mary, and then Anakin is Jesus. Anakin Skywalker is Jesus Christ. That is disgusting to think of, because Anakin...
Why?
Well, because Anakin... He turns out to be Darth Vader, and I mean, I don't know. It's just comparing him to Jesus makes me, I don't know, it's kind of gross, a little bit.
I don't know. I do think that there are some similarities between the two books, and I think definitely George Lucas got some inspiration from that. And that's some of the inspiration for these movies is having the chosen one, and
yeah,
I think for that specific prophecy, I think it's more related on the Bible
yeah.
and stuff. But I'm not gonna push religion. We're not gonna really talk
yeah,
about that.
We should not talk about religion. Okay, yeah.
So, well, after that, they go back to Coruscant. Was there anything in between there that I'm missing?
Oh, yeah, the whole Darth Maul scene. You were going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was about to talk about that. So, the whole Star Wars theory, like, the franchise, all relied on Anakin saying... Qui-Gon, or Master Qui-Gon or something, I'm feeling tired. And then, like, why would you, as Darth Maul, why would you just choose to run over this little child that's walking behind Qui-Gon? Just choose to run over him. Like, because he wasn't gonna stop. He wasn't gonna, like, not run over Anakin.
Yeah.
Like, he could have ended right there.
I know.
On Tatooine.
I feel like he had to make his presence known, though. He had to, like, go, like, come, like, he had to appear to the Jedi in such a way where the Jedi was like, oh, we're screwed. We have Sith now. And I think by doing that, maybe, I don't know. It is weird, though. I agree with you. It is weird. But maybe by doing that, he thought he'd have more of a worse first impression, which is what he wanted, or scarier first impression, I guess. But yeah, it is weird. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And that, I think that's where we're gonna stop for this episode. Yeah. So
okay.
We're gonna stop there.
For this episode. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys.
See you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday. Bye bye.